Good morning. It's so good to be here. If you didn't notice, I'm Pastor Luke. I'm one of the pastors here. And it's so good to be in the Christmas season and to have you all here. It's so exciting. So this Christmas at Hammond Bay, we've been doing a sermon series called HBC at the Movies, which is really exciting. HBC stands for Hammond Bay Church, in case you didn't know that. And so we're discussing different Christmas movies and how they connect to the themes surrounding the birth of Jesus. And so today I get to talk about one of my favorite Christmas movies ever, a very lovable one called Elf, if you've seen it. It's a wonderful movie about Buddy the Elf and his joy and excitement that he has around Christmas and, yeah, him figuring his whole life out. So I have a clip from it that just shows just how joyful and excited about Christmas Buddy the Elf is, and I hope you think it's as funny as I do.
Very good at decorating that tree.
Why are you messing with me? Did Krampa put you up to this?
I'm not messing with you. It's just nice to meet another human who shares my affinity for elf culture.
I'm just trying to get through the holidays.
Get through? Christmas is the greatest day in the whole wide world!
Please stop talking to me.
Uh-oh. Sounds like someone needs to sing a Christmas carol.
No way.
Best way to spread Christmas cheer is singing loud for all to hear.
Thanks, but I don't sing.
Oh, it's easy. It's just like talking, except louder and longer, and you move your voice up and down.
I can sing, but I just choose not to sing, especially in front of other people.
Well, if you sing alone, you can sing in front of other people. There's no difference.
Actually, there's a big difference.
No, there isn't. Wait. I'm singing! I'm in a store, and I'm singing! I'm in a store, and I'm singing!
Hey! There's no singing in the North Pole.
Yes, there is.
No, it's not.
We sing all the time.
No, it's not.
Especially when we make toys. See?
Attention all Kimball shoppers. Please make your final purchases. We'll be closing in 10 minutes.
Yeah, so Buddy the Elf has this deep joy about Christmas. And, of course, his joy it revolves around Santa and toys and cookies. And we as Christians, our joy around Christmas revolves around the birth of Jesus, God's love, and cookies. but this leaves us with the question of, is this joy possible for us? This overwhelmingly positive outlook on life where we never seem to get down. And I think we all, deep down, have a longing for this. This longing to feel joy and happiness all the time. And nowadays, sadly, joy is often very inward-focused. Never before in history has personal happiness and joy been so important. Do whatever is best for you. Do whatever makes you happy. Do what gives you joy. These are messages that our culture gives us a lot of the time. And so one example of somebody simply seeking this inward joy is a guy named Kevin Durant a few years ago. I don't know if any of you follow sports, but Kevin Durant is one of the best basketball players in the whole world. And he was playing in the NBA for a team called Oklahoma City Thunder. And he was there for 9 years, and he decided to leave them and abandon this team and go play for the team that had just knocked him out of the playoffs a few months prior. And so obviously all of his fans and a lot of people were devastated and shocked by this move that a lot of people called very selfish. And so what he said when he left, it says, "It really pains me to know that I will disappoint so many people with this choice, but I believe I am doing what I feel is the right thing at this point in my life and my playing career." And so a lot of sports critics and analysts summarize this quote as, "I got to do what's best for me." And so often this is how we and our culture view joy. Joy is doing what is best for us and nothing else. But as we're going to find in the Christmas story, there is a joy so much beyond this, so much more rich and full, a joy that is infectious and contagious, that takes over our entire lives, a joy that doesn't only thrive in ideal personal circumstances. And so since we're talking about joy this morning, Like Ricky and Ainsley said, we have to kind of define what joy is. And they gave a great definition. And I have another one that lines up perfectly with that. There's a pastor named Rick Warren who defines joy in the Bible as, Joy is the settled assurance that God is in control of all the details of my life. The quiet confidence that ultimately everything is going to be all right, and the determined choice to praise God in every situation. Joy is a lot of the time very unnatural for us. Some days it's more of a determined choice than something that comes easily. Me and Christian are really good friends, and we, you know, hang out all week together, working together and everything. And so I tell him when, you know, about life and when things are hard. And I was talking to Christian this week, and I said, hey, like, this week is a more difficult one for me. You know, I'm adjusting to the Nanaimo, you know, winter gloom, right? It's sunny in Saskatchewan usually. A lot of homesickness that comes around the holidays. And this, among other things, I told Christian, yeah, this week is really hard. And Christian turned to me and said, well, it's kind of ironic that you're preaching on joy this week. And, well, I think it's ironic. I don't think it was a coincidence at all. In taking time this week and preparing this message and really thinking about joy, I've really realized I need to be reminded of how God is in control of the details of my life. I've really been reminded of all the good things God has done. And it's really forced me to think about joy a lot more. And this doesn't mean that feelings of sadness or homesickness just go away, but it means that I'm clinging to something bigger than my own troubles or my own sorrows. And so in the passage we're about to read, we see just how in control of the details God is. So we're going to be in Luke 2 today. And if you're new with us this morning, first off, welcome. It's so good to have you. And secondly, if you are new with us this morning, you have a unique opportunity to connect with this story. Because the characters in this story, as they arrive at the scene of Jesus' birth, are still in the process of figuring things out, as many of us still are. The Lord appeared among them, and the radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them. They were terrified, but the angel reassured them. Don't be afraid, he said. I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all people. The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David. And you will recognize him by this sign. You will find a baby wrapped snugly in strips of cloth, lying in a manger. Suddenly, the angel was joined by a vast host of others, the armies of heaven praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest heaven, and peace on earth to those with whom God is pleased. So these angels come and they proclaim joy upon the whole world. They are so excited that Jesus is on earth. This is good news that brings great joy. And so the whole course of history for followers of God is about to change, and the angels know what magnificent things Jesus is going to bring to our world. And so one of the things that they know Jesus' birth will bring to a lot of people is healing from their physical afflictions and also healing through forgiveness for the things that they have done. So in Luke chapter 5, Jesus as an adult actually does both of these things. He gives a man forgiveness, and he also gives a man healing. So just give me a sec to turn there. Luke 5, starting in verse 17. So one day while Jesus was teaching, some Pharisees and teachers of religious law were sitting nearby. It seemed that these men showed up from every village in all Galilee and Judea, as well as from Jerusalem, and the Lord's healing power was strongly with Jesus. Some men came carrying a paralyzed man on a sleeping mat. They tried to take him inside to Jesus, but they couldn't reach him because of the crowd. So they went up to the roof and took off the tiles. They lowered the sick man on his mat down into the crowd right in front of Jesus. Seeing their faith, Jesus said to the man, young man, your sins are forgiven. But the Pharisees and teachers of religious law said to themselves, who does he think he is? That's blasphemy. Only God can forgive sins. Jesus knew what they were thinking, so he asked them, why do you question this in your hearts? So these men get really upset at Jesus because this man comes and he says, your sins are forgiven. And they say, that's blasphemy, which means they're saying, Jesus, you're equating yourself with God. And so we understand, try to understand the Trinity and how Jesus is equal with God and united together with him. But to them, this is an outrageous thing for Jesus to say. And so what Jesus does is he proves that he is one who can forgive sins, and also that he has a flair for the dramatic here. So, Jesus says this. Oh, I gotta find it. Is it easier to say your sins are forgiven or stand up and walk? So I will prove to you that the Son of Man has the authority on earth to forgive sins. Then Jesus turned to the paralyzed man and said, stand up, pick up your mat, and go home. And immediately, as everyone watched, the man jumped up, picked up his mat, and went home praising God. Everyone was gripped with great wonder and awe, and they praised God, exclaiming, we have seen amazing things today. So the angels have this joy knowing that Jesus will bring healing to a lot of people. Healing from their physical pain and their struggles, and also healing from the burden of mistakes through his warm forgiveness. And so the angels also have this joy surrounding Jesus because they know that he's going to bring victory over death. In John 11, so just to set the scene a bit, in John 11, Jesus' really good friend Lazarus dies. And they put him in a tomb, and Jesus is far away. And he comes, and he rushes to be just at the scene of when everything is going down, at the funeral and everything. And he comes, and Martha, Lazarus' sister, comes up to him and says, Jesus, if you would have been here, you could have saved him. And Jesus is distraught. He's very upset. He's sad. And this is what Jesus actually turns and says to her in John 11, verse 23. Jesus told her, your brother will rise again. Yes, Martha said, he will rise when everyone else rises at the last day. Jesus told her, I am the resurrection and the life. Anyone who believes me will live even after dying. Everyone who lives in me and believes in me will never, ever die. Do you believe this, Martha? So right after this, Jesus goes on. He raises Lazarus from the dead. Because Jesus is the resurrection and the life. Everything that he touches, he can bring life to. And so, yes, there is this resurrection at the end for followers of God, which is what Martha is talking about. But Jesus goes and decides to do so much more to show just how much life he brings into our world. And so the angels have joy because Jesus will bring this life to everything. He'll resurrect those who believe in him. And so they are singing because Jesus is going to bring things like love, healing, forgiveness, and resurrection into our world. And these things are, all coming to humanity through Jesus at this time. And something that we learn from this story also is that joy is very contagious, because if we read on in our Luke 2 passage, it says this, when the angels had returned to heaven, the shepherds said to each other, let's go to Bethlehem. Let's see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about. They hurried to the village and found Mary and Joseph, and there was the baby lying in the manger. After seeing him, the shepherds told everyone what had happened and what the angel had said to them about this child. All who heard the shepherd's story were astonished. But Mary kept all these things in her heart and thought about them often. The shepherds went back to their flocks, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen. It was just as the angel had told them. And so the shepherds immediately have this joy that compels them to race to the birth of Jesus. And they might not really know exactly what's going on. They just know something special is happening. So in this story, the angels and the shepherds decide to adopt Buddy Elf's philosophy of the best way to spread Christmas cheer is singing loud for all to hear. There's a lot of singing in this story because people have so much joy surrounding the birth of Jesus. And so this joy spreads throughout from the angels to the shepherds and to all who hear this story. And at the end of the day, this is what we're all chasing. We're all chasing joy. It's what we all want. It's why, as I said earlier, Kevin Durant left the Oklahoma City Thunder. It's why we spend thousands of dollars every Christmas on presents. And it's why sometimes we can't shake the feeling the grass is greener on the other side or someone's life is different. We desire to have joy. We crave it. And this isn't a bad thing. God has made us with this desire for joy. But we have to remember, as said earlier, that joy that fulfills us only comes from realizing that God is in control of the details, that everything is going to be all right. And so the birth of Jesus helps us to achieve this joy. We see God is in control. He has this good plan that starts with a baby being born in a town called Bethlehem. Everything is going to be all right because there's a God who loves us so much that he humbled himself, came down to earth, probably smelled like the shepherds when they first met him. Yeah, and he came to earth to bring forgiveness, healing, love, and resurrection to our world. So knowing that all of this begins in the Christmas story, I think is something that can bring us a lot of joy. So, Jesus' birth brings joy because it shows us God's good plan. But we're left with the question, what about when this is hard? What about when Christmas isn't a time where angels are coming singing, or when you don't feel like Buddy the Elf and you don't want to sing and dance in the name of Christmas? What about then? For a lot of the world, Christmas is a really hard and painful time. Maybe you have a lot of family dysfunction and it comes out more aggressively at the holidays. Maybe you've lost someone really close to you and every Christmas is a reminder of how much you miss them. Maybe Christmas is a bit of an embarrassing time for you as you try and compete with other people's gifts that they're giving and all the money they're spending. So Christmas for me this year is going to be very new and a very different one. For the first time ever, I won't be spending Christmas Eve at Hepburn Mennonite Brethren Church's candlelight service and then going home and sitting by the fire, followed by opening presents and a good old Bushman game of hockey. This is the first time I won't be doing that. And so sometimes I look at the coming weeks, the weeks leading up to Christmas, and I have a lot of fear and I have a lot of dread. But I remember the joy that comes from knowing there is a God who had such a good plan that he came down to earth humbled as a baby. That there is a God so in control of the world that he was going to bring love, peace, resurrection, forgiveness, healing, all of these different things. And that same God who did that has a plan for me to be in Nanaimo this Christmas. I'm really excited to be here for Christmas Eve. It's going to be awesome. Because when it comes down to it, joy is really difficult. We love and adore movies with Buddy the Elf, you know, singing and dancing and never getting down in the name of Christmas. But the reality is, that's just a movie. That's not the way life really works. Joy comes from knowing that things will be all right and that God is really in control. That Jesus really did bring healing, forgiveness, and resurrection to our world. So if you leave this sermon and you don't feel joy is a possibility, you don't feel like going and singing in a store like Buddy the Elf, that's okay. Because joy is more about having a determination to think about the good things of Christ than a feeling. So remember this, things will be all right. There's a God who loved you enough to come down into the world. God is in control. God had a plan to save the world that began at Christmas time. A good plan. And maybe these things will be enough to give you a little bit of Christmas joy that you can spread around. Maybe not like Buddy the Elf, but in some way, shape, or form. Look beyond how you can give yourself joy this Christmas and look at how Jesus has and will bring you joy in this Christmas season. Take some time, think about what Jesus' birth meant, and it might not give you these joyful feelings, but I hope and I pray that it'll give you a joy far beyond just your emotions, something bigger that you can cling to. I hope and I pray that even if this is your darkest Christmas ever, that somehow you'll be able to find joy by thinking about the story of Jesus. Because Jesus' birth brings joy. It shows God's good plan for us. Let's take a moment and pray. Dear God, we thank you for everything you've done for us. We thank you how you humbled yourself and how you came to the world. We thank you that you made us with this desire for joy. And sometimes this is hard, and we pray for anyone having a hard time this holidays, God, just that you would, be with them and show that you have a good plan for their life, just like how you have a good plan for humanity to bring good things. And we thank you very much for this day. Amen.